I want to welcome you all here this morning. I'm glad I'm doing this lesson this week, because if it had been last week, this had been a real froggy lesson. And it may still turn out that way. But I'm happy to be able to. This is the lesson that was supposed to happen tonight, but Steve Finley is going to be here tonight and presenting that lesson while Chad's out. And I'll be doing the one this morning. This is a lesson that follows kind of our men's third lesson of the month. I didn't come up with this topic. It was handed to me, which is always a challenge, and it's fun. And so, as we read this morning, Christ refers to this sign of Jonah. And so the lesson this morning will be on the sign of Jonah. One of the things we need to realize, and it's not until recent times, that the story of Jonah has ever really been considered anything more than truth. In modern times, though, there's come some understanding that Jonah and what happened with him is a fairy tale, a story that was just made up. But why would Jesus refer to the sign of Jonah if it was simply just a story? Simply something that made up. Why would God use a story to get us to understand what it is He wants us to understand? There's no reason for that. God has the power and He has the ability to use what's real before us. When we take a look at the life of Jonah, there's something in that that Christ was referring to. And if we remind ourselves of the story, which is a story we have heard since our youth, if we've been in the church that long, Jonah was a man, a prophet of God. A man who was bringing the word to those around as God would have him to do. But God had a special task for him. God asked Jonah to take and preach repentance to the Ninevites. But Jonah had a problem with that. As God-fearing as he was, those people just weren't worth it. And so in Jonah's mind, he decided, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go to the farthest ends of the world, which at that time was what they called Tarsus, which would be where Spain is today. And he was going to hop off and head the opposite direction, as far away from Nineveh as he could get. Unfortunately, or fortunately, as it is the case is, Jonah's plans got upset in this process. For he hopped on the ship and there was some turmoil in the water that was brought up because that's not the direction God wanted him to go. So as the men on the boat are trying to figure out what's going to happen to us, and as we remember, they take lots and the lot falls on Jonah. Well, Jonah knows why this is going on. And so Jonah's solution is simple. Throw me overboard and I'll die. And the job is done. I won't have to do that anyhow. But God's in control. God is always in control. And what happens to Jonah becomes the crux of the story. Because Jonah is not allowed to die, although he feels as good as dead when he's in the belly of the fish for 3 days. But Jonah is not allowed to die. And during that time, if you can imagine being there, stuck there, probably kind of like being in a coffin in a sense, you didn't have much room to move around. It's not like Jonah got up and walked from one end of the fish to the other and kind of contemplated his fate. I think Jonah was kind of immobile at that time and had time to reflect on what was going on, had time to reflect on what he had done. And he comes to his senses. And he prays to God, and he asks God for forgiveness. And God has the fish spit him up on dry land. And the rest of the story of Jonah we know. I don't want to go into all of that. It's not about Jonah so much this morning as the example that Jonah had. Because when we take a look, we got to ask ourselves, what was the sign that Christ was referring to? What was the sign that Jonah was manifesting? And when we look at the story of Jonah, and we look at what Jonah did, we see several things that happened here. And so is Christ referring to these things? First off, Jonah was not obedient to God. Jonah was disobedient to God the Father. He had decided he was going to do what he wanted to do and not what God had asked him to do. The problem with this disobedience is it just didn't affect him. In our disobedience, if we think about this, when we decide to be disobedient to God, who are all the people that can be affected by our disobedience? In Jonah's case, the effects of his disobedience were at least the peril of these other men on the ship, because this ship was not going to survive as long as Jonah was there. Because we realize that as soon as they threw Jonah overboard, it calmed down. And understand that at this time, in the shipping industry and stuff like that, you wouldn't just hop on a boat and go any time of the year. They knew what times of year they could go. This was a good time of year. These type of storms did not happen. This was not the time of year for storms to be happening. They wouldn't be out there. So for this storm to come up and be so violent was an unusual thing. And Jonah put these men's lives in peril. Jonah, he thought he was in control. He assumed that he would die, and he made that his last request. Throw me overboard and things will be taken care of. I'll get what I want, and your fate should be okay. But that wasn't the way it worked out for Jonah. Jonah felt as good as dead in the belly of this fish. He was there for 3 days. Whether it was a total of three 24-hour periods, we don't know. But the Bible says he was there for 3 days, which was plenty of time for him to reflect on what had gone on. He feels forsaken by God. But who walked away from who? And where did Jonah expect to be at this point? If he had died at this point in his life, he would not have been with God anyhow. He would have died in his disobedience. He would have died being lost. But God is patient, as we studied this morning, if you were in the adult class in 2 Peter. God was patient with Jonah. He was patient with him, and he realized he was a good man, and he had just needed to be given time. But God never left Jonah. For 3 days, Jonah felt like he was left. But at the end of that time, he realized, I am the one that left God. I am the one who caused this problem. And so he goes to his God in prayer, and he asks for forgiveness. God never left him. God was willing to be there for him, and he was willing to save him. So how does this compare when Christ is talking to about the sign of Jonah? How does this story compare to Christ? Why would Christ draw on what Jonah had done? When we look at it, we're talking about a person who had been disobedient. Someone who didn't do what God wanted to do. Somebody who was a prophet of God and decided to do other things. But there's a comparison that we can make here with the story of Jonah. Because Jesus would die also. He would actually go to his death, but not because of any disobedience he had made, but disobedience we had made. Disobedience on our half required that Christ be put to death. And as Christ reflected on that, as he prayed to his God, he asked that this cup may be passed from him. But that wasn't to be. Christ would die, but not of anything that he ever did. Jesus prayed for us, and we can see this in Matthew 27, verses 45 and following. Because he asked for us to be forgiven. He asked for us to be forgiven, those who would put him to death. This wasn't a blanket forgiveness. This wasn't a forgiveness for the whole world. This was a forgiveness for those just like Jonah, who had been in error in their ways, causing Christ to be put to death, but came to their senses. Christ asked for those to be forgiven. He couldn't ask for all of mankind to be forgiven, because if somebody doesn't want to be forgiven, how can we forgive? But for those who ask for forgiveness, like Jonah did, Christ prayed a prayer for us, for all of mankind to be forgiven for the things they had done, and his reasoning for needing to make the sacrifice that he was going to make. God never abandoned Christ either. God was always there. God was always with his son through his life and through the turmoil that he would go in his death. Christ does say at one time, my God, why has thou forsaken me? But even then, God was with him. Even then, he was with him. This was a process that had to happen for the salvation of mankind. But God was with Christ. We also see what happened after Jonah's resurrection from the fish. When we take a look at the story of Jonah again, and we take a look at what Christ is referring to here in the sign, think about it. Had Jonah succeeded in making his way to Tarsus, had Jonah succeeded in dying in the water, what would have been the peril? What would have been the fate of so many more? Because Jonah actually did what God asked him to do. He actually went into Nineveh and preached to them, and interestingly enough, it took him 3 days to preach to Nineveh. And Nineveh responded. Had Jonah remained disobedient, these people would have been lost. But because Jonah was made to understand what it was God wanted him to do, and because he went and spoke to Nineveh, they listened to the message and they repented. And Jonah knew this would happen. He knew this was happening, and this is why he didn't want to go. He didn't want them to repent. He didn't want God to forgive them. Jonah was mistaken. And in our scripture reading this morning, there is a power that these men will have in the end, because these men of Nineveh will stand up with this generation, with a generation that is looking for a sign. These people will stand up at the judgment, they will condemn it. Because why? Because they responded to the message. They responded to the message, and something greater than Jonah standing right before them, and they don't see it. Is something greater than Jonah standing before us and we miss it? Is something greater than Jonah before us at times and we look right past it? We want to understand that there is something greater than Jonah that has come and established his kingdom. Something greater than Jonah. When Jesus was resurrected, over 3,000 souls were brought to Christ. These were 3,000 people who had been there, been involved, had seen what had happened. They had seen Christ be taken to the cross and crucified, and they realized they had crucified their Messiah, and it was, what would they do? And what did Peter tell them to do? Repent. Repent and be baptized, every one of you. But what did they have? Jonah preached to Nineveh, and Nineveh could repent. Now, these people realized something greater than Jonah. They realized there was a salvation now in Christ. A salvation that wasn't part of the message Jonah had. Jonah's preaching was not unlike John's preaching. It was a preaching to repentance. But now something greater than Jonah was standing right before them. Something greater. And it was going to bring salvation for all of mankind. The Messiah is greater than Jonah. He was right before these people. He had done many miracles at the time. He had done things that no other man had ever done. And yet they wanted another sign. They wanted another sign. What were they looking for? Were they looking for somebody like Moses? Moses wasn't perfect. Moses never got to see the promised land because of his disobedience. Christ was never disobedient. Christ had given them everything they wanted, and yet they wanted another sign. But another sign would not come. It kind of brings us to another story of the rich man and Lazarus in Luke 16, verses 19 through 31. A story that I'll let you read. I don't want to go into, for the sake of time, go into that whole story. But we have a rich man here who lived very well in his life on earth. He lived very rich. He had all the things the world could provide him. And there was another man that lived at the same time, Lazarus. And Lazarus had none of that. Lazarus had all the things that a poor man could have. Not because Lazarus wanted to be that way, but that was just the fate at the time. But Lazarus was a godly man. How do we know this? Because we see the fate of Lazarus after they both die. Lazarus is sitting there in Adam's bosom. Lazarus is reaping the rewards of his faithfulness to God. And this rich man is reaping the rewards of his disobedience to God. And the rich man asks that Lazarus just be allowed to come over and to dip his finger in water and provide a drop of water on his burning tongue, on the discomfort that he has. Can you imagine being in so much discomfort that just a drop of water would be so soothing? That is a place we do not want to find ourselves. We do not want to be there. But the rich man is told that's not possible. There's a great gulf between the two of them, and that's not going to be possible. And he says, well, then, in verses 29 through 31, he says, But Abraham said, after he asked him the question, would you please send somebody back? Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. But he said, no, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to him, if they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be persuaded if someone rises from the dead. If someone rose from the dead, would that be a sign great enough for you to believe? If someone came back from the dead and told you, you need to do this, would you believe? Abraham says they wouldn't believe even then. How stiff-necked were these Pharisees that Christ was talking to? What is our mindset today? How is the world today in their thumbing their nose? We talked about it this morning in class. There are people who are fat, dumb, and happy to accept evolution in the millions of years that it takes for things to happen. That's fine. But they want to see God now. They don't want to wait a million years for God's proof. They want to see it now. And that's not going to happen. God has no reason to produce a sign for people like that. People who saw the signs of Christ were people who were willing to believe. They wanted to believe. We believe today because those things have been made true. We do not want to find ourselves like the rich man was. We don't want to find ourselves in that peril. So what made the sign of Jonah worth mentioning? What made the sign of Jonah worthy? Well, for Jonah, what made it worthy was the resurrection from the fish. See, the resurrection from the fish saved Jonah. His resurrection saved him. His resurrection was part of the salvation that he would find. He had repented from his misdeeds, from his disobedience to God. Had he stayed disobedient and continued on, he would have been lost. His message from God also saved a great number of other people. Even though Jonah didn't consider these people to be worthy to be saved, his message saved a great number of other people. There was a great response to the message that he had. Now understand, it wasn't Jonah himself. This was God's message. Jonah was simply the deliverer of the message. But if the message didn't get to the people, then what would have been their fate? And interestingly enough, we talk about this today. The sign that Jonah had is actually something we refer back to today. It's a short reading in the Bible. It is a short experience for us to understand and to learn from and to gain insight from. Because even in the story of Jonah, even after he preached to Nineveh and he sat down and he rested, he didn't totally understand it. This shade tree grew up and shaded him from the sun. And then the next day a worm came and ate it, and Jonah was exposed to the sun and he was ready to die again. And now God has a conversation with him. God's conversation with us is in the salvation of his son. God's conversation with us is for us to read and to understand what it was that Christ did for us. What made the sign of Jonah worthy? Well, if we look at the comparison to what Jonah did, Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days. Christ was in the belly of the earth for 3 days. But Christ didn't deserve to be there. Christ didn't deserve to be where he was at. Christ was in the place he was at because of mankind's disobedience. But you know, Christ's resurrection saved him. Had Christ not resurrected, where would we all be today? Christ was never disobedient. He had to do everything the Father asked him to do, and the resurrection was part of it. He had to go and be crucified. He had to become our Savior. It saved him. Christ was never disobedient. It's not saved in the same sense we're saved, but it's saved in the sense that he remained obedient to God. And in his obedience, what did we gain out of that? Jonah saved the Ninevites. Christ saved everyone. Everyone who has listened to the message, everyone who has believed in God, from the beginning of time until now, was saved through Christ's sacrifice, was saved through his resurrection. And through his resurrection, and after he left, the gospel was established. And it becomes a message for our salvation. For our salvation to be found in Christ. Something greater than Jonah is here. It's here now. We have salvation. So what can we learn from all of this? What can we learn from the story of Jonah? What can we learn from what Christ was trying to get across to the Pharisees? Well, Jesus is God's Son, and he proved it. He proved it because he resurrected himself, and he came back. He is as alive today as he was when he was here in the flesh, and he is waiting for us to join him. All that Jesus said was truth, and he has proven it all even to his death. But another interesting thing is that Christ is with us even when we are disobedient. Christ is with us even when we are disobedient. He gives us the ability and the time to realize our disobedience. In the story of Jonah, Jonah was given time to reflect on what he had done. We are given time to reflect. We have the Bible before us and we have those who preach from it. We are given time. But the promise is for the believer. Christ will provide all that he has promised for those who believe in him. For those who see what he has done For those who see the sacrifice that he has made, he will provide new life for us. In this new life, though, it's not always going to come without some bumps and bruises. It's not going to always come without some of those mocking us, some of those talking against God, who have no reason to, who have no substance in their mocking. It's all subjective. It's all based on, well, it's not based on God's standard, then it must be based on another standard. What standard's greater than God? There isn't one. So there'll be some suffering that we will do, but Christ will be with us through that. He will never leave us. He will be a part of us, and he will give us the strength to make it through. See, Jesus' resurrection has a greater power than Jonah's did. Jonah saved him and the people at that time. Christ's resurrection has saved everyone who believes. Everyone who has done what he's asked us to do. When those people of Peter that Peter was talking to asked, "What do we do? What do we do for what we have done? What do we do in our disobedience?" Peter said in Acts 2:38, "Repent, each of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." You will receive something so much greater than the gift of Jonah, so much greater than the sign. There'll be a gift here that'll be unlike anything you've ever had before. Christ will be your gift. But you know, Paul tells us this too. When we are baptized, we share in Christ's death. We partake in it. We partook of this morning, this memorial to remember the sacrifice that Christ did for us. We remind ourselves every first day of the week, because when we were baptized, we partook in the death symbolically that Christ went through. And in Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 7, Paul tells us here, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him, the old part of us, in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we no longer will be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. We are freed from the things and the sins of this world. And all we do for God. But with the things that we are to do to remain obedient are the things that God has asked us to do. And if we stay obedient with what God has asked us to do, then our reward is salvation. When we took on Christ, we got the Holy Spirit. Now we get to live with God. We get to live with him. So how does Jonah's experience show to us to be a foreshadow of Christ? Not only was he in the belly of the fish for 3 days, but Jonah talked with a heathen nation and called it to repentance. Christ did not come to talk to you and I, those that are saved, those that believed in him. Christ came to talk to those who were lost. He came to talk to those who did not know God. He came to talk to those who were disobedient and to tell them that there was something better. Yeah, he came to talk to a heathen world. And at times he was treated just like that, like anyone else in the world. But Christ continued and persevered and was not going to be succumbed by the mockers of the world at that time, and nor are we today. See, the Word of God is for all people. Jonah was made to see this. In Jonah's disobedience, he didn't realize that God wanted all people to believe. It wasn't just the Israelites. And there are other examples in the Old Testament where we see people who were not Israelites believing in God. God wants all to believe. He's always wanted all to believe. And today, everyone has access to believe in God. But it has to be something that they want to do. Sometimes we are the tool God uses to get people to understand what it is they're really looking for and what that sign is. We are tasked now to be the Jonas of the world. We are to bring the message of salvation, the message of the gospel to all. We are the ones who are tasked with doing that now. Do we understand better the sign of Christ? See, we started out this morning in Phil's reading of the scripture here, where they were asking the teacher for a sign. And he said, and he answered them, "An evil and adulterous generation craves for a sign. And yet no sign shall be given to it but the sign of Jonah the prophet." If you're lost with just the sign of Jonah the prophet, what will that be to you? Where will you be if that's all that you have? Because see, there are those who came from the farthest depths of the world. Some came to hear Solomon. The wisdom of Solomon. Because no man had ever spoke like that. No man ever would again. No man was ever like that. And people came to find out what made Solomon special. It wasn't Solomon. It was God. What made Jonah special in the ability to deliver the word was not Jonah. It was God. Christ himself comes here and shows us why God is special. We have the sign of Christ before us every day. We can read it. It is easily accessible. So I ask you, do you have the sign of Christ? Or do you have the sign of Jonah? And I leave you with this last scripture before we dismiss this morning. In Luke chapter 11, verses 30 through 32, the writer tells us, "For just as Jonah became the sign to the Ninevites, so will the Son of Man be to this generation. The queen of the south will rise up with the men of this generation at the judgment and condemn them, because she came from the ends of the world to hear the wisdom of Solomon," to hear the wisdom of God. "And behold, something greater than Solomon is before the people at the time, before us now. The men of Nineveh will stand up with this generation at the judgment and condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, something greater than Jonah is here." Something greater than Jonah is before us today. We always offer an invitation for those who feel they have not done what God has asked them to do. Whether they have not joined Christ in baptism, or whether they have been like Jonah was at one time, disobedient to God, and they would like to repent of that, and they would like to rejoin with Christ. We have that opportunity this morning as we stand and sing the invitation song.